This week on Mun Coach, the energy minister in Qatar has announced that the Gulf state will leave OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, in January 2019. Qatar has been a member of OPEC since 1961, joining a year after the organization's founding. While the energy minister cited Qatar's desire to have greater control over its natural gas production in his official statement, political analysts believe the move may be politically motivated. In 2017, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and several other countries imposed sanctions and demands on Qatar in response to border disputes and political disagreements. But what does this mean for OPEC? Was Qatar's move to leave the organization based in politics? And what does the future of OPEC look like? In the UN Deep Dive, we'll be covering the often overlooked UN Trusteeship Council. One of the principal organs of the UN, the Trusteeship Council had a critical role in the post-World War II world. But what was its mandate? What is the current status of the council? In our strategy session, I'll be discussing why it's important to set expectations for your Mata UN team and why you need everyone to buy into team goals. And finally, in Coach's Corner, I'll share my strategies for how to format your draft resolutions to maximize involvement and outcome. Today is December 10th, 2018, so let's get to it. In the news, Qatar is set to leave the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries in January 2019. OPEC was founded in 1960 by five countries: Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela, to, quote, coordinate and unify petroleum policies in member countries, according to the official OPEC website. Qatar joined OPEC in the following year, and up until 2019 was one of the 15 current members. In addition to Qatar, Indonesia, Libya, the United Arab Emirates, Algeria, Nigeria, Ecuador, Gabon, Angola, Equatorial Guinea, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo make up the 15-member bloc. Practically speaking, the departure of Qatar will have little economic effect. Its exports make up less than 2% of the total OPEC petroleum production. After the Gulf states' announcement, the market showed little reaction. So why has Qatar decided to leave the oil cartel? Officially, the Minister of Energy cited Qatar's desire to focus on its natural gas production. He assured the move was not politically motivated. Yet it's hard to ignore the increase in tensions between Qatar and its neighbors. In 2017, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, Egypt, the Maldives, Mauritania, Senegal, Djibouti, the Comoros, Jordan, and the governments in Libya and Yemen severed all diplomatic relations with Qatar and banned Qatari ships and planes from their airspace and sea routes. The coalition, led and put together by Saudi Arabia, claimed the actions were in response to Qatar's support of terrorism. They presented Qatar with a list of demands, including the closing of Al Jazeera News, closing a Turkish military base in Qatar, reducing Qatar's relationship with Iran, ceasing to grant Qatari citizenship to nationals from Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, and Egypt, reparations for damages, and more. It's little wonder why Qatar's exit from the Saudi-dominated OPEC bloc is being interpreted as a political move. Economists debate the real effect OPEC has on influencing the global price of crude, and the Washington Post says, quote, OPEC's real significance is as a political club. Sheikh Hamad bin Jassim Al-Thani, Qatar's former prime minister, said the organization has become useless and adds nothing to us, adding that the organization was being used, quote, only for the purposes that are detrimental to our national interest. Qatar will formally suspend its membership in OPEC next month, January 2019. UN Deep Dive. The UN Charter designated the Trusteeship Council as one of the principal organs of the United Nations. Its mandate included overseeing trust territories upon the conclusion of the Second World War. Almost all of the trust territories were holdovers from the League of Nations mandates, 7 in Africa and 4 in Oceania. The charter specified the Trusteeship Council must make decisions based on the best interests of those inhabitants. With the establishment of Palau as a self-governing entity in 1994, the Trusteeship Council successfully fulfilled its mandate and suspended all new meetings. From December 1946 until December 1994, The Trusteeship Council oversaw the independence of 10 countries: Ghana, Somalia, Togo, Cameroon, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Samoa, Nauru, and Papua New Guinea, and the establishment of 4 self-governing territories of the Federated States of Micronesia, the Republic of the Marshall Islands, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, and Palau. Since 1994, 2 proposals have been put forward to either revive or eliminate the Trusteeship Council. In 1995, the Commission on Global Governments recommended expanding the purview of the Council to protect environmental integrity in the global commons, as 2/3 of all territory on the planet is outside the express territorial control of any member state of the UN. In 2005, Secretary General Kofi Annan suggested the complete elimination of the Trusteeship Council, but because it is a principal organ of the UN, that would require amending the charter, and little traction has formed. What are you doing in March? I know, it's a while away, but I want to invite you to join the All-American Model UN team as we travel to Madrid, Spain to compete at Harvard Model Congress Europe. We attended HMC Europe last year for the first time and had a blast. Spanish food, culture, and history. The conference was pretty great too. To apply, visit allamericanmun.com/apply. Enroll before January 1st and save $250. UN Strategy Session. Most Model UN teams gloss over the tough decisions in an effort to avoid hard conversations. Many future disagreements between members, and teachers stem from this initial avoidance. I'm talking about setting team and member expectations. While some programs are held together by a faculty member or teacher that spearheads the rules and responsibilities of the organization, many others are driven by students. Regardless of the organizational structure, I urge all teams to start their year by discussing and agreeing upon a set of expectations. By having an open discussion, all members should feel included in the process. Let every member voice their opinions on meetings, membership requirements, how teams and conferences are chosen, and expectations for attendance and performance. Agreeing on all of these points at the beginning of the school year or start of a semester will avoid confusion and misunderstanding down the line. This is especially important if you're looking to have a strong year by winning team awards. Model UN can end up taking a lot of time in training, conference preparation, research, and obviously attendance. By setting the team expectations, you should avoid conflict when a member chooses not to participate to the agreed-upon standards. It takes the subjective nature out of the equation. Model UN Coach's Corner. Let's talk about structuring draft resolutions. First and foremost, please learn how to format your draft resolutions. I know it can be tedious, but take a little while to learn the difference between preamble and operative clauses, where those semicolons go, and other important formatting points. That's not what this conversation is about, though. Even the delegates that know how to properly format a resolution still overlook some small but powerful steps that they can take to improve the quality of their paper. In College Model UN, a traditional committee like a General Assembly or ECOSOC may write and pass a resolution that's over 20 pages long. Obviously, college students have a broader and deeper base of knowledge from which to draw when designing solutions, but their papers are also structured to incorporate more comprehensive solutions. Most high school delegates simply number their operative clauses, one through however many. Here's a way to increase the number of clauses and involvement from your block. Break your draft resolution down into topic areas, and label each section with headings, such as international transparency, education, financial development, and others. First, this allows you to address your topic area from many angles, likely improving the overall quality of your paper. Second, it allows block members to focus on their topics of expertise and interest. Third, it lets the dais and other members of your committee to absorb the general themes of your draft resolution much more rapidly. During your next training session, write a draft resolution with members of your team and try breaking a complex topic like small weapons and light arms or climate change or nuclear nonproliferation into smaller, more digestible chunks. You should be able to come up with a much more complete solution set and in a shorter amount of time. Hey, are you looking to expand your knowledge and interaction with the UN beyond a conference weekend? Have you always wanted to visit the UN headquarters in New York City? Are you committed enough to start affecting change in your local community or even on a global scale? All American Model UN is proud to be working with MUN Impact in the UN Department of Public Information to help high school students attend the MUN Impact Summit at the UN headquarters in New York City this April. For more information and details, visit allamericanmun.com/MUN Impact. That's allamericanmun.com/MUN Impact. This episode of MUN Coach was written and produced by All American Model UN, elevating the performance of Model UN delegates across the country. For more Model UN tutorials, articles, training programs, and travel opportunities, visit us online at allamericanmun.com or send us an email at muncoach@allamericanmun.com.